And you are tuned to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. Get ready for Brewocracy Now, our weekly conversation with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. And here's a hint. If you would like to join the conversation via Zoom, everything you need to know is on the kptz.org website. So I strongly encourage you to take a look at that. It has all the credentials, sign-in, password, all the crazy things you need to know to survive in COVID-19 times, and join a Zoom meeting. And we have John with us right now. And are you there, John? Can you hear me?
It's him.
Okay, let's pull this down. Actually, seems like everything is working as it should. So just to put this out there again, you can join this meeting. If you have questions for City Manager John Morrow, you can also just send me, if you would rather not be broadcast on air, send me your questions to tim@kptz.org, and I will ask them for you. Hi, John.
Good day, Tim. How are you?
I am fine, and I see that you are in your office right now, and you have several people waiting to speak, so I'm going to make this quick. I'm just happy to be here. I've been gone and a little bit unusually oblivious to what's going on in Port Townsend, but this is my chance to be brought up to speed. I know you're very good at that, so it's all yours, John.
Yeah, no, it's great to see you, Tim, and be a different part of town. It's great to see some folks on the line, and I'm really grateful to have some folks listening at home. So feel free to join us on the Zoom call or drop a line to Tim at the radio, and let's get this coffee conversation started, shall we?
Let's do it. Coffee in hand.
So I'm noticing that those online, I think you can unmute yourself if you want to dive in. But I will just say by way of hello and here we go again this week. You know, we're still here and we're not going anywhere anytime soon. So just a couple of quick highlights from where I see things. I mean, it's great to be back in City Hall, although I have been working here throughout the pandemic. But it's also great to be joined by a number of colleagues who have been on temporary furlough for a number of weeks. And so this is the week we welcomed almost all our furloughed staff back. So I guess a dual message here. One, thank you so much for your patience as a community, as we really were really trying our best with very limited staff. We had 52 part-time and full-time staff furloughed. That's a pretty big chunk of our overall team. And so most of those folks have returned. So we're super grateful to see people in the office, socially distant, and adhering to our safety plan, and be able to get back out there in the community and do things like do curbside delivery for our library, which is off and running, do things like parks and street maintenance, which is off and going. In fact, all parks are now open, including playgrounds, except for the pool. So we're back up to speed there. And I guess the only other thing I wanted to mention, because I'm hoping that the callers and the participants on the Zoom call just want to ask away, just the calendar, I guess just following the calendar. Next week, we have another intergovernmental collaborative coordinating committee group meeting. So the ICC meets representing the port, PUD, county, and city. And we're trying to press a fast go on recovery and resilience for the community. So that's really us setting the table for broader community involvement, and we hope to keep moving that forward. The other thing is in a week and a half, on the 27th, the first ad hoc committee on public safety and law enforcement takes off as well. So that's one to watch as we as a community ask some deep questions and really understand better systemic racism challenge that we have both in our institutions across the land, but what we can do about it locally. So maybe I'll leave it there because I'm sure there are some questions on people's minds.
John, I'd like to turn it to you.
Hi there.
I was just saying, I went to walk on Scott Trail, and it's the count out there. So I don't know. It was just coincidence, but they cleaned it up a bit. So.
Your audio is breaking up a little bit, but yeah, glad to hear that I think we discussed last time the Larry Scott Trail and just making sure we're able to keep the maintenance and the trash pickup and everything underway. We've been really hamstrung with resourcing to be able to do that, and the county, frankly, as well. So we're kind of back in the game. I understood only in the last 48 hours the very complicated nature of the land and the agreements there between Port County and City. And so, we're just understanding how that works is a really dance of partnership. So glad things are looking cleaner out there.
Oh yeah, this is something, something not too heavy, but I'm glad that it's good. Things are getting back to normal a little bit, as normal as we can be. Thank you.
So look, anybody on the line here, I can see your face, and you can just kind of pop up your hand, and I'll just go for it. What's on your mind?
Come on, Pete.
Go ahead, Catherine. I think you're
encouraging you to speak up. Go for it.
This is Peter Ryans in Port Townsend. I've chatted with you on email, John Morrow, and very much enjoyed that. I just wanted to bring up for listeners the what I think is a crucial idea for public safety in the COVID era of infections, and that's ventilation of closed air spaces that they live in, or they work in, or they recreate in, or they have restaurant meals in. It's not so much a question. Well, it is a question in the end, but I'm not a medical person. I'm a fluid dynamicist. I study the flow of air and water in oceans and atmospheres, but I've made a pretty aggressive study of the dilution of something like a virus in something like a closed home or a closed restaurant. And I'm looking for expertise in both continuing the experiments to make people safer in their homes and their closed air spaces by ventilation of air, and as well as looking for expertise, I'm looking for people interested in sharing and promulgating that in form of websites and public information of the kind that KPTZ, I have to say, is wonderful in setting up a meeting point for discussions like this. And I won't take a lot of time except to say that it's been really clearly shown that closed spaces are much more dangerous for infection than outdoors by factors of 10 or 20 or 30. Very clear studies, and they're growing and growing. They're beginning to appear in the media, New York Times particularly. There's some very good bloggers around who are collecting these scientific reports and then transmitting them. And I'm hoping that we could have some kind of a central information spigot in Port Townsend, which will help people in the opening phase, which is almost inevitable for the health of our population, to open up in some way, despite the scary increase in infections. And there are a lot of techniques involved in that, with ventilation devices, portable air purifiers, which have been studied but not really quite understood yet, HEPA filters, filtration for your working spaces, exhaust fans that are high up and gently exhausting the air of a room to keep it clean. The main thing you don't want to do in spreading virus is to recirculate closed spaces of air. So open windows in warm weather and exhaust fans that are gentle but persistent. These are ideas which are somewhat touchy-feely, as to say scientific evidence is growing but not complete. But what evidence really is growing is that closed spaces with aerosols, very fine particles lingering in the air, are severely dangerous, and we're seeing super spreader events. And I'd like to just amplify this idea and hope that we'll find the people in town who want to know more about how to clean their air. And I'm thinking particularly of schools. Now, I've been talking with Dr. Tom Locke about his wonderful efforts in reaching out to schools, for example, right now, to make them safer.
Peter, thank you. Or I should say, Dr. Peter, thank you for those thoughts. And I think it really underscores for those listening who might not be professors in fluid dynamics. But you know, there's some real tangible lessons for all of us, and the reasons why we're, you know, when I went and got my local takeaway, sandwich for lunch here, why I look around and people are masked. I look around and I see people holding some of their meetings outside. The guidance we have for our own indoor safety plan for our facilities is such that, it's very different for indoors and in spaces that are poorly ventilated. And in fact, we've changed our own practices in the city to make sure that our buildings have our filters checked and make sure that they're new and make sure that our ventilation is at max. So, I guess I'm hearing from you that the science is still yet to be, absolutely clear on what precisely, the danger level on indoor air quality is and how the virus works. We know enough to change our behavior and to try to keep each other and ourselves safe. So just a reminder that behavior is what's going to get us to the other side of this and allow us to, turn back on some of the things we depend on, whether it be businesses or events or what it might be.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish we had the fullness of time, and academics are notoriously slow at getting things really nailed down. And here we want to nail down the ideas and not something else. And with the opening up pressure and the real need for kids to be back with their mates, we have grandchildren that are really, I think, are in difficulty for loneliness and isolation. And we've got to do that safely, and I think it can be done.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great message, and I think I cannot say whether or not Dr. Lockwood approved that message or not, but I know that that's very much on his mind as he considers the advice he gives to our community. And I do say, we're looking at an uptick in COVID-positive cases in the county, but I do think we're still remarkably different. I'm not saying that's a good thing, clearly. We're still preparing. We need to be vigilant, but to see what's happening across our nation, I'm very proud of our community's ability to step up different practices and behavior and realize the benefit to doing that is really that we can still go to restaurants, we can still go to work and make sure that we're taking care of ourselves in the long term. And that's a trade-off, and it's not fun to always have to change our behavior and stay a bit further apart and wear a mask, but it is working. So keep going, Port Townsend.
Thank you. This is a great place to show an example. And if we did that, there's a city, and it was just on Amy Goodman yesterday, that a city somewhere in Alabama, which went against the state regulations about masking up, and the mayor of the city said, we've got to all mask up in the city, and they cut their infections by one half in 1 month.
Yeah, I think that's another interesting point, Peter, is that the difference, the lag time and behavior, and I think I was listening on the same broadcast, there were at the state level, there was conversation about, you're not seeing the benefit right away, just like you don't see the threat right away. People not believing because you don't see immediate cause and effect, but why would this be dangerous? But clearly this is a significant threat and very dangerous. And you see that, within a few days of onset. Same thing with the solutions. The behavior that we change could has a bit of a lag time, but after a couple of weeks, which is why that initial stay-at-home order worked, we flattened that curve, and the estimated impacts of Jefferson County. Frankly, I was part of conversations where there was a real severe concern about available hospital beds and ventilators, and to have the governor say, we don't actually need those ventilators right now. Was a sign that that behavior works.
Hmm.
Right. Hi, Catherine. Good to see you as well.
Hi. Sorry I coughed, but I'll take it while I got it. I just want to observe, of the five people online, three of us used to be part of the waffle breakfast. So, yay, waffle breakfast. That used to be a gathering every Sunday morning about 9 to whenever the conversation ended, of community issues and science and good books. And
excellent.
Went on, I think, for 10 years. So it was really fun.
I look forward to waffles in person someday again.
I got Quebec syrup for you, I promise. I have obviously a couple of things, and yeah. I love Peter going in first here. I love, hope you'll join again. And for me, when you have a hammer, every problem's a nail. And I'm really interested in community engagement because I was out on the farm today, and everything is up for renegotiation in our community. Everything. And so there's a lot of possibilities, but it's hitting us at the time when instead of being connected to the max, we're isolated and we're watching Netflix, and we're kind of psychologically isolated too, which is a mental health issue, I think. So last time I was able to sit in on this, you were talking about how important community engagement was and how difficult it is in the time of virus. And so I wanted to bring something to your attention, and I'm glad you're back in the office, because maybe I'll get a copy of it and just drop it by. The question for me today was, how do I get this to you? 20 years ago, our community was involved in a community engagement process called PT 2020, ironically. And instead of having big town meetings, a number of us were trained to invite no more than 10 of our neighbors into our community, into our houses, maybe now our backyards, and use this July, August, September window. And we watched a 10-minute max video and then discussed what was important to our community for the next 20 years. And it seems like a wonderful way to do it small, to engage the neighborhood resilience and, you know, defeat the isolation more. It's 2020, so it gives us a chance to look back into how well we did, and also forward as to how well we did. And it was at no cost. The community provided the food, they knew the neighbors. We had a postcard that was printed out that we sent back in. And it actually, over the 25 years I worked in the community, this is the one process that everybody looks back to with great fondness. So I wanted to draw it to your attention. I also have a 1991 survey that I bet isn't in the files anymore, because I know what happened to my files when I left. And this, I think, is a really doable thing. And I think there's a lot of groups that you could engage to convene their little neighborhood groups. So I wanted to draw that to your attention, and I'll try to drop it by. The other thing is, I don't know about the July 27th, because it hasn't been in the newspaper very much, why you're doing the police thing. But I just, as a citizen, wanted to suggest that that's a good place for your collaborative group to weigh in early, because we have a pretty enlightened, generous police department. We have a very at-risk and politically insensitive sheriff's department. And that line between the city and the sheriff, the city and the county, young people don't know that line. And the abuse in the county comes over into the city. Whereas the enlightenment and community-based policing of the city could inoculate the county if we were brought together in a group discussion. So I would encourage you not to go it alone and really try to figure out how to get the county sheriff engaged in this issue.
Catherine, thank you. I like how you've laid out two issues. One that is low-hanging fruit, delicious, ripe, and easy to pick. And the other is a tripwire on the way to get there. So very well aware that I'm being, we're all being live broadcast here as far as the signal.
I know. That's why I retired activist is such a great position.
That's why I do the job I do. And that's why I'm pretty upfront about my thoughts here. So I will be to everybody. The first one, just, you know, I'll pick the fruit and then I'll follow the tripwire. I think exactly what you're describing is the set of conversations that my team and I are having right now. And that is the same thing that infuses our regional collaboration, which is we can't do this by ourselves. And, you know, and I'm very willing to be honest with the community that the city has amazing staff, not a huge ton of them. We have amazing assets and resources. But look, we need the community to help us get things right and for us to work together, much like I've said to my colleagues at our regional agencies. So, I think this is a great opportunity in a time of difficulty and crisis to say, how do we do this together? I think back to the July 4th weekend where I convened a bit of a small, safe, physically distanced neighbor gathering on separate blankets with about 10 feet of space. And we actually just got together to say hi, you know, and it'd be nice if we could have shared food. We didn't. We brought our own. We were quite safe about it. But we ended up blasting through a lot of these issues, you know, and inevitably with interested and smart people from different perspectives, we touch on transportation and housing and golf course and kind of all across the traps there. And And the power of that kind of thing to be fused back into decision making is very great, and other communities have done that. So what you've the other thing, I don't have a long history here. You know, this is my 8th month or something like that. So for you and the community to help me understand where we've been and what works is tremendously helpful. So I will very much take that into the next conversation I'm having with my team about that very shortly, as we try to work together to provide a space for people to talk about the issues that matter. And I think to your point, because of the 8 or 9 things on our plate this year we have to discuss, it ranges from public safety to parks to public works across the spectrum. So it's a great opportunity to talk again about what do we really care about? What can we do? What's actually just too big an expectation for us to cover because we've got limited time and resource, and have an honest conversation about it. So I love it. The second one, if I may, is I'm not saying it's a
tripwire. You can skip that one.
I think it's an observation. I won't verify or agree in any way because I don't know enough about the practices. I can simply say the resolution that was passed establishing this committee on public safety and law enforcement recognizes the need to work with the sheriff's office and the county and beyond, frankly, because a lot of the I will say that we've got a great police team. We all depend on them very often, even if we don't know that. I kind of continue to maintain we're on the cutting edge, but I also think that everyone has things to learn because the background context is one that, systemic racism is, no one can really avoid that one. That's a societal problem, and that's in our institutions. And we need to be upfront about that and to take that discomfort and say, okay, now what can we do about it? So even the best and the most enlightened need to think again about how we improve. And we're very much up for that. And that's something that I know that Interim Chief Serber is very much up for because we stand on a strong record and great practices and some really cool innovations that I think other communities serve to learn from us. At the same time, there are probably some things we could change. And some of those things we need to discuss in an open forum. It's being done through a committee of the whole with all decision makers at the city level, which is great because they were enthusiastic about it and wanted to be part of the process all together. And one that I think we all stand to gain quite a bit of information about, well, what are our practices? When I get repeated calls for, we should have body cameras for our police team, my response is great, great idea. We're doing that. So all of us can learn what our current practice is. And then some of the challenges of those larger policy conversations, some of those, as I've said to our state delegation, are going to require some state action. And so I told them to get ready for what comes out of Fort Townsend to represent at the legislature, because undoubtedly this is going to be picked up as part of the session next year. Likewise, to your point, working with the county, because look, we draw the county in to help cover shifts. People don't discriminate between the county, the city, or the state when there's the emergency. And in fact, the agencies work very closely together and mostly in a very productive way. But making sure that the work that we do here has a connection to the regional approach is something that I know our decision makers, and I know that Sheriff Knoll and the county commissioners are very much thinking about. So I might have stepped in it there, but I appreciate the comment and we together.
Just if I can do another one with this, because you opened it up in terms of sharing the history. When we had an economic development strategy to recruit young entrepreneurs, and then we went back 6 months later and said, what do you know about our community? The number one answer I loved was the saying among the young is, come to Port Townsend for vacation and leave on probation. And what the information on I-5 was is this is the place the State Patrol graduates their students, and they come to Shelton and Port Townsend for those first experiences of writing tickets. So I do think that having some young people who have had direct experience with the police and the sheriff and State Patrol, I think you're right, is really critical because it's perception, I don't think, and it's a rare opportunity to change a culture and reset something that I think would strengthen everything in our community.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Yeah, thank you. And look, I mean, I will. We've got questions to ask. We've got community to engage. We've got practices that need a look, and I still maintain that we're the team does a great job. I've gotten to know their work really well and the impact they have on this community. I feel extremely grateful to be in a community like this that has a 21st century based policing attitude. We're just like everywhere else in the nation. You know, police are often given the stuff that falls through the cracks, and so behavioral health and a whole host of difficult societal issues come to their feet because, frankly, the rest of the system is broken, and that's not necessarily fair, and they might not always be equipped to deal with such big existential issues. So I imagine when we walk into this one, we're going to start realizing, just like anything, how really intimately connected policing and law enforcement and public safety is to a whole host of other issues that are wrapped up in it.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for the thoughts. Appreciate it.
Well, John, I guess this might be a good time to jump in a little bit with a question.
Sure.
Walking around Port Townsend recently in the past week, of course, out at Chetsmoka Park, things were as beautiful as usual. Seems like going back in time there, I haven't seen much difference. Going downtown, there's a pulse returning. You can feel it. It's a little different. People are wearing their masks, as far as I can tell, at the appropriate times.
Yeah.
Ordering a pizza at a downtown establishment it struck me as cleaner as I've been in hospital emergency waiting rooms that were not nearly as clean and well monitored as some local establishments. So it seems that we are doing well here, and I don't want to and a relatively low infection rate, and it'd be very easy to gloat, and I'd love to do this about Port Townsend anyway, so I'll stop myself there. But and having no experience with what you do as a city manager, I would imagine there are times that you sit around a table with other people in regional government in your role, sipping sherry in the drawing room or whatever it is.
Yeah, sherry. Sure.
Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. In the library. Without having to name any names, has it ever come to you in any informal way during conversations with people, or is this just off limits that there are things that other folks wish had happened sooner in their jurisdictions? We're surrounded by different levels of and different environments, urban and rural. Have there been anything come to you saying, wow, man, I wish we had done X a month earlier, or that kind of information sharing that's been useful to you?
So just to clarify, Tim, from other jurisdictions?
Well, I'm speaking about maybe other city managers of other cities, other counties. I'm sure that there's some regional conversation going on between you and people in your role.
Yeah. I mean, look, here's a good example, and I don't think they'd mind me mentioning it. I mean, I think part of my, just the way I work, and I'm, welcome to ask around to see if this is true, but, I don't believe that I know the answer to everything. But I do know how to bring people together and make sure that there's a variety of opinions, and we have smart people around the table and a diversity of opinion, because then we'll get a better answer. I take the same approach to our regional partners, and I think particularly Nathan West and Charlie Bush and Squim and Nathan and PA. I mean, we have weekly conversations as city managers in the peninsula, and they're super rewarding because those guys have been city managers in this region for a while, and they've got some great ideas. They're very creative. They're very collaborative. We also bring in the county administrators as well. So, just locally or regionally, we have those kinds of conversations. And so just one example is, recently we've been talking about how we compare notes around anti-bias training, how we do that as institutions, how we try to lead the way there. And I've had the same conversation with the Port of Paiute County, because beyond policing, we need to shift opinions and actually start asking some tough questions of us, in the workplace, making sure that we're part of the conversation for change. So I know that particularly Charlie Bush and Squim has really pushed forward pretty far on that. And so I was grateful to have some of their insights on how Squim's doing this, and and, you know, take some notes and to work with our HR team here to think about how we can sort of follow in the slipstream. And I don't necessarily think it was because of our leadership in the space, but maybe the other counterpoint to that is, you know, the Open Streets Initiative, which is largely an experiment, and, you know, we're trying to relook at what public space means. And so then, you know, we've started opening up streets to people and trying out parklets and streeteries and working with local businesses. You know, that was of great interest to SQIP. And so they were saying, gosh, you know, I did the same thing. And lo and behold, there's a similar initiative that popped up there not too long ago. So those are the kinds of things that working together on the same issues. And I do that in a larger national context. And, you know, I'm such a geek. I go for runs in the morning. I did an 11-mile run this morning. I had podcasts on. And so I'm listening to the ICMA. I'm listening to, you know, sort of the trade of city managers and county managers and what they're talking about for how to communicate during a crisis, how to work together on law enforcement and public safety. And I love the idea that Port Townsend can invent things because we're a creative bunch. But we also can probably borrow ideas from people that are tried and tested and actually make a lot of progress adapting them to our community.
Well, John, we have about 1 minute left, and I did have a question from somebody who obviously, and I suppose this is an appropriate way to end this conversation, who knows a little something about your background. And here's the question. Here's the question. You ready?
I'm excited about this one. Okay. One minute lightning round. Go for it.
Did you ever meet Jacinda?
Oh, so I've been in the same room, and I've met, I think, 4 or 5 prime ministers of New Zealand, including the one previous to her, in person, and Helen Clark, who's kind of a luminary. She appeared by video conference to a symposium that I was running, and I was forever grateful to her and her staff, but I've never gotten a chance to shake her hand.
Ah, okay. Well, it's not over.
She's got a long career ahead of her, and New Zealand seems to be on the right side up with COVID, so, you know.
So if you invite her to Port Townsend, you think she'll come? you know, just give it a try, man.
I'll do my best.
Pull the strings. Well, we're at the end of our time here on Brewocracy now, but it's always fun to talk to John because, John Morrow, there's never a question that's off limits, and this is the kind of town that we do step in things, don't we? And so that's Port Townsend, and John's okay with that. So I'm so grateful to be here every week with John Morrow on Brewocracy Now, KPTZ Port Townsend. Thanks, John, and join us. Join the party, everybody. Thank you, everybody that joined in this Zoom call, and join the party next week, same time, same place. Thank you. We are, so we'll be hitting right back into normal programming on KPTZ as soon as I flip a few switches, and here we go.